Date of the Sikh is Gimel Tammuz, Shabbos Parshas Kiryat Tavshin and Aleph. Rebbe says that certainly the going out of the jail of the Friedrich Rebbe was a miracle. And the miracle happened on Yud Beis of Gimel Tammuz, but in essence it really began on Gimel Tammuz. And Gimel Tammuz is a day that was not very clear. It's interesting, I'm sure a lot of people pointed this out, that even in the times of the Friedrich Rebbe, this day was not so clear, like, what is it? Just like now, there are different reactions to Gimel Tammuz, then Gimel Tammuz also was not clear. On one hand, Gimel Tammuz, when it happened, nobody knew that it was a positive thing. People knew the Friedrich Rebbe was in jail. They expected to hear that he's going out of jail. Instead, the news they get is that he's going into a city of exile for 3 years. So actually, the average person, the layman on the street, was very disappointed and very upset. Then there were people who knew the inside story, and they knew that the Friedrich Rebbe had first been given a verdict of Hepech HaChayim, and then there was a verdict of 10 years labor camp, and then came the verdict of 3 years kastrama, so that's much lighter, so it's actually a simcha. But it's still, it's not a complete simcha because he's still there. And then the Rebbe goes into a lengthy explanation that even for the people who knew the inner situation also weren't 100% sure that this was a step to things becoming better, or maybe a step to things being made worse. The Rebbe brings down that even al pi halacha, there's a concept that a person's in galus, in some ways it's worse than other penalties, in some ways. Because galus means you're restrained, you're restricted, you can't be yourself. But once the Friedrich Rebbe went out of jail, and now we look back, we realize that Lamaila and Lamata was really, the Friedrich Rebbe got redemption, but it basically took place in two stages. Gimel Tammuz and then Yud Beis Gimel Tammuz. Actually, you can say three stages. First Gimel Tammuz, then Yud Beis Tammuz when he was told that he's going out of jail, and then Gimel Tammuz when he finally got his papers to actually leave. So the Rebbe's question is, if Hashem is already making a miracle, and the Friedrich Rebbe is going out of jail miraculously, then why did it have to be first Gimel Tammuz, and then there's confusion, and there's fear, and there's anxiety, and then 10 days later he goes out of jail completely. Anyway, it was a nest, it was not al pi teva. So it was not al pi teva, why couldn't have it been that on Gimel Tammuz you go out of jail and it's over? Not only that, the Rebbe says that the Friedrich Rebbe's accomplishment of breaking and crushing the communists didn't end on Yud Beis Tammuz, it actually ended just recently in the 1990s. Why? Because that's when communism fell completely. And the Rebbe explained that the fact that communism fell completely is not just a result of what we did now, but it began in Tavshin, in Yud Beis Tammuz. The Friedrich Rebbe broke this klipa on one level, became weakened, and then it just took all these years until it finally collapsed and was eliminated totally. So again, if Hashem is making a miracle, and miraculously Yud Beis Tammuz was the day that the Rebbe defeated the communists, why wasn't it all the way? So number one, why wasn't Gimel Tammuz the complete redemption? And number two, why didn't he even go out of Galus on that day totally and completely? I mean, the Russian Jews. So the Rebbe asks another question, says we can ask a similar question to the other nests of Gimel Tammuz. As we know that on Gimel Tammuz there was another miracle, and the miracle is Shemesh Begiven Doim. And on Gimel Tammuz, on that day, the sun stopped. The reason why the sun stopped was because Yeshua was fighting a war, and he was at a point where he almost defeated the enemy completely, and he needed just another few hours to totally and completely conquer the enemy. But he didn't have those few hours because nightfall was coming, and in the dark it's impossible to pursue the enemy properly. So he asked Hashem to make this miracle that the sun should stop. And therefore he had many more hours of day. And as a result of that, he was able to conquer the enemy. So the Rebbe says, again, this was a miracle. It wasn't normal that the sun should stop. In fact, there are Mefarshim that say that this miracle that happened in the times of Yeshua is even greater than the miracles of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Rebbe brings one of the Mefarshim, says like this, Im hoy Hashem shashemesh, oymer the bottle metnua, and nirislai, this miracle, is more amazing, infinitely more amazing than all the miracles that were made through Moshe Rabbeinu. The fact that the sun stopped. And in the pasuk itself it says, there was never a day like this before in history or later in history. So it was the most Eibishter changed nature in the most radical way. And yet, if the Eibishter wanted a miracle to save, to have Yeshua win the war, he had to do such a radical thing. He could have made something happen that in one shot, they win the war, and they don't, even though it's before the night, they could have won the war before the night came. And the Eibishter has enough ideas, he knows what to do and how to do it. In fact, the Rebbe brings a pasuk that part of the miracle was that Hashem threw stones at them from Shemayim, and that's what destroyed them. So could a little bit more stones or a little bit another thing, just like he had Adam, Tzvadei, Akin, Marav, Dev, Shchin, he could have thought of something here too and just destroy the enemy. And there's a third question which is also very similar, and that is the third story which is in this week's Parsha. But not this week, but last week, Korach. But Korach was arguing against Moshe Rabbeinu, and he was told, Moshe Rabbeinu told them that in order to prove who's Emes, they should all put their sticks down, each tribe. And if we see that the stick is going to have a fruit growing on it, then you know that this is the Emes. Such a miracle. So they put the sticks down, and that's where almonds grew. And the reason why almonds, because they grow the fastest, normally takes 21 days for almonds to grow. And here it grew overnight. But the lashon in the pasuk is, Vayetze perach, the flower came out, Vayotze tzitz, it began to sprout, and then the whole fruit crane came out. So again, the Rebbe is asking, why did there have to be this process of flower sprouting and the whole fruit? Anyway, it's miraculous. Sticks don't bear fruit. So it's a miracle. So David could have made that one miracle in 1 second, put the stick there, and then immediately fruits come out. The general answer of the Rebbe is that even though David did something which is the Maila Ma'ateva, but nevertheless, as we find this in Chassidus in many places, the Eibishter wanted that this miracle, or these three miracles, it's miraculous, but it should infiltrate the order of nature. Not destroy the order of nature, not undermine the order of nature, but infiltrate, become, it should be incorporated into the order of nature. So for example, with the stick, it was a miracle, but the way the miracle happened was that Hashem changed the nature of a stick. Just like the tree gives off fruit, they wish to make that a stick should have the nature of a tree. Once a stick has the nature of a tree, so it follows the same order, that there is a flower, and there's sprouting, and then there's a fruit. True, there's a miracle there, and the miracle is that it happens 1, 2, 3. This reminds me of something once spoke about. Remember this question that people come up with, that it says that after Mashiach comes, it'll take 40 years for Tchiyas HaMeisim. So we're going to still have to wait 40 years for Tchiyas HaMeisim? Doesn't sound right. So the Rebbe says, no, it doesn't have to be 40 years. And the Rebbe said that by the Meraglim, they were 40 years in the desert. Why? Because of the 40 days that they spied on Eretz Yisrael in a negative way. So it was 40 days, why are they in the desert for 40 years? So for whatever reason, we see that 40 days became 40 years. So 40 days can become 40 years, then 40 years can become 40 days. And 40 days can become 40 hours. And 40 hours can become 40 minutes. And 40 minutes can become 40 seconds. We won't have to wait a lot. So what is it ever, is this some sort of a game or what? What does it mean? But the way to explain it is similar to another thing which says in Gemara, or it's a Medrash, that when Mashiach comes, that a woman will have a baby in 9 hours, instead of waiting 9 months. So you can ask the question, why 9 hours? It just should say, the woman will have a baby the same day. And the answer is, obviously the fact that a child to be born takes 9 months is also not just a technical scientific thing. It's a spiritual thing. That the baby to come into this world has to go through 9 stages of ishtalshlus. And the 9 stages of ishtalshlus, it manifests in months. So every month is another stage. When Mashiach will come, it'll also go through the 9 stages, because that's just what has to happen. But it won't manifest in 9 months, it'll manifest in 9 hours. It's like Sfira Seima, for example, is in 7 weeks. Because each Midah is another week. So how come Shemitah is 7 years? So the answer is, the idea is still the same. It has to do with the Sfiras. But in this case, if you would know the situation, we'd understand why here it manifests in 7 years, here it manifests in 7 weeks, in a different situation it manifests in 7 days. So therefore, similarly, this is the same inyan. When Mashiach comes, until Tchis HaMesim, there has to be a transition going through 40 levels, 40 changes. So the Gemara says those 40 changes will be in 40 years. But being that it's 40 changes, it doesn't have to be 40 years, it could be 40 days. But the 40 will still be 40, or 40 hours. I think we can perhaps also explain another thing. You know, we always quote where it says that Mashiach, one of the possibilities of Mashiach's coming is, which is relevant in our times today, is that Mashiach comes, he's revealed, then he's hidden, and then he's revealed again. So, one of the sources for this, of course, is the Medrash. One of the sources in Rashi is the Rashi in Daniel. The Rashi in Daniel, where it says, I'm sure we brought this in class more than once, it says, Ashe HaMachake, fortunate are those people that are going to wait for Mashiach. So Rashi says, what are we talking about? We're not talking about fortunate are those people that are going to wait for Mashiach, b'chlal. No. He's talking about after Mashiach comes, he's going to be hidden. Rashi says, for 45 years. And fortunate are those people that during these 45 years, they're not going to give up hope. In another Medrash I saw, it says 45 days. So what does it mean? It means, not chas v'shalom, we have to wait 45 years, but it just means that somehow this transition is going to take 45 levels. It could manifest in 45 seconds, 45 hours, 45 something else, but it doesn't chas v'shalom mean that it has to be this amount of time. So getting back to our subject here, that the fruit grew in a miraculous way, but the Eibishter wanted that even though it was miraculous, it should still follow the order of nature. And in that way it's a miracle, but the miracle is incorporated in nature. And the same is with the sun. The Rebbe said that Eibishter wanted that Yehoshua should conquer the enemy in a natural way. That's called natural way. But nevertheless, there's a miracle. But the Eibishter wanted the miracle should be there to assist Yehoshua so he pursued the enemy in a natural way. And he attacked them and defeated them in a natural way. But in order for him to do it in the natural way, he needed a miracle that the sun stopped. So that means that, again, it was a miracle, but the miracle merged with nature and the enemy was defeated in a natural way, as much as you can call this nature. The Rebbe says the same is with Gimel Tammuz. that the Friedrich Rebbe was released from jail in Gimel Tammuz. And being that the Eibishter was performing a miracle here, it's a big deal. He could have made a bigger miracle. Goes out completely, it's all over. And all of Russia, all the communism would collapse right then, Gimel Tammuz 1927. Wouldn't be a bad idea. Now, I don't know if anyone here remembers, but there was once a Farbrengen Shavuos, Tovshin Chav Dalet, 1964. And by that Farbrengen, the Rebbe was talking about Russian Jewry. Then the Rebbe said, "Nu." Nobody knew what the "nu" meant. The Rebbe said again, "Nu." And the Rebbe was very upset. The Rebbe began to sing Essen Esser. So the people started to sing Essen Esser. It's not what the Rebbe wanted. The Rebbe took the napkin he had in his hand and threw it on the table. And after a few moments, the Rebbe then said that if the Chassidim by the Farbrengen would have said L'chaim for the Jews in Russia, all the Jews of Russia could have gone out. Tomorrow, he said, "I'm going to get a letter. Should I send such a package to Russia? Or should I send such a package to Russia? Here, if you'd have said L'chaim, all the Yidden of Russia would have gone out." In other words, at that time, it sounded like a very Baal Shem Tov story. Looking back now, what the Rebbe was in a sense saying, what you saw happen in 1990 could have happened in 1964. In fact, after that Farbrengen, there was somebody who by every Farbrengen would say, L'chaim for the Russian Jews. But it wasn't it. It was a moment to be taken advantage of. So what we're saying is that Gimel Tammuz Tofresh Bezayin could have been the Gula Mitzvah Shleima. But the reason why it didn't happen was because the Eibishter wanted that it should still follow some sort of an order. So it went through the system of the jail, and they said first here, and then there, and then he went to Kastroma, then he went out, and then there was, unfortunately, all those years from then until 1990, another 60 years that it took for the Russian government to be collapsed completely. You know, there are a lot of things that even for us, that we sit by Farbrengen, and knowing the Rebbe already, we know when the Rebbe makes a move with his head like this, and he says, stop a song, to start a song, saying a maimer, we know because we're here. But a stranger would come in, he would say, wow, how do they know to start this niggin? The Rebbe went like that. But everybody knows already that that movement means this, and that movement means that. So when a stranger would walk in, he wouldn't be able to make the connection. So I guess if we would be connected on a deeper level, really as a chassid should be, then we should have been able to sense what is it that the Rebbe wants of us. Again, this is now what I'm going to say now, it's not in the sikha, just a thought, speculation. The Rebbe gave the sikha Gimel Tammuz. Tavshin and Aleph, which means the last time that he spoke to us about Gimel Tammuz. There's no doubt in the mind of any chassid, based on all the sikhas, that if the Rebbe speaks on Gimel Tammuz, Tavshin and Aleph, certainly he was giving us a message for the Gimel Tammuz, which was going to come up in the future. Because the Rebbe said this so many times about the Friedrich Rebbe, that when he spoke before, he surely gave us messages for Yud Shvat, what we should do, how we should do, how we should act. So Gimel Tammuz certainly has something to do, and I guess, here the Rebbe also told us Mashiach is here already, and Mashiach is revealed, and we see changes in the world, and Russia has collapsed, and Saddam Hussein is going to be, you know, eliminated. It's basically all these things that are showing us where we're going with Mashiach. And then suddenly, in the middle of everything, there's a Chav Zayin Adar, and then there's a Gimel Tammuz. How does it make any sense? So I think the Rebbe was preparing us that Chas V'Shalom, it doesn't mean, it might look like Gimel Tammuz then, looked like it's not happening. But in essence, it's a miracle. The miracle is taking place. But the Eibishter wants this miracle to take place and be incorporated in the Seder of nature. So therefore, it happens in such a way that now we have to pull and push and do everything we can to make it reality. And that's what's been going on for the last 10 years, that we have to do it with our own avodah. I think the cheder, that must be the message, one of the messages of this sikha, how it relates to us. Now, why is it taking so long? Why did Gimel Tammuz take so long? Why did the nest with the sun have to take so long? Why did the nest with the stick have to take so long? And the answer is because that the time shows that it's going through a process. If it doesn't take time, then there's no process. It's just mumayla, and it's done. The fact that it takes time, that we have to do things yet, means that it's being incorporated in the order of nature. All our problems come from that. Because it wouldn't have to be incorporated in the order of nature, then miraculously everything would just be right, and that's it. We're already talking about what we see in the Sikha that's alluding to the future. So there's an interesting thing here, which is the Rebbe talks about the word chukas and the word kaira, that both have the same letters, ches and the letter kuf. But the difference is that chukas ends with a sub, and kairach has a rage. In other words, the two letters of both words are the same, ches, kuf, kuf. But the difference is the tough and the rage. And it never goes into what the difference is between these two letters. But when that talks about the tough, the Rebbe says, what does the top of chukas represent? It's the word tichya, life, and the real life is eternal life, a life that's not interrupted. Another thing the Rebbe said, dafka on the day of Gimel Tammuz. Another thing which is also the chayr, something the Rebbe is alluding to in this sikha, and the Rebbe is telling a story. And the story is spring at a certain point. And then, by the way, the Rebbe goes off on a tangent, the chayre, to the eye, on a subject which is a little bit on the side. The story was about a chassid. The Rebbe wanted to bring out that when a person is involved in spreading chassidus, he's so involved in it that his own personal metzius is totally lost. And his own metzius becomes just an amplifier for chassidus. That's it. So the Rebbe said there was once a chassid, they had a fabrengen. I guess he said some L'chaim, and he's walking down the streets in Russia, and a policeman stopped him and said, who goes there? So the chassid spoke in Russian, because it was a policeman, a Russian policeman. You're in Russia, you gotta speak the language of the place. And he said to him in Russian, the person said to him, Kto idyot, which means who's going, who's walking there? And the chassid answered him, Bittel idyot. It's Bittel that's walking. In other words, he's so into Bittel, and he said, Bittel is walking. So the Rebbe says, the reason why he spoke Russian was because it says, Azlis l'karta alach b'ni Musa. When you go to a city, you should follow the customs of the city. Of course, not the things that interfere with Yiddishkeit. So being that he's in Russia, he spoke in their language. And by these words, there's a footnote. The words are not part of the Sikha, it's not, but it's a footnote. And the footnote is that this is the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu, when he went up for 40 days and 40 nights on the mountain, he didn't eat and didn't drink. Because when you go to a city, you act like the people in the city. Being that he went to a place where there are malachim, and malachim don't eat and don't drink, he also didn't eat. And then the Rebbe writes, Lahoyer, take note that Gimel Tammuz is in the 40 days. It's very strange. It doesn't seem to be connected to the flow of the whole Sikha. From our perspective, the connection is that one of the ways that Rizal describes Mashiach's coming is that he comes, and then he becomes hidden, and he's hidden in a way like Moshe Rabbeinu was hidden in the 40 days and 40 nights when he went up to get the Torah, that it wasn't really, nothing really happened to him. He just went to get the Torah to give to the Yidden. That's a Mashiach will also go away to bring down new Torah and new life into the world. Arizal. And it means that the Eden of Gimel Tammuz that we have experienced is similar to Moshe Rabbeinu, and then it seems to be understood, at least on one level, the Rebbe is alluding to the fact that Gimel Tammuz is actually one of the days of the 40. Because Moshe went up on day after Shavuos, and he came down Shavuot B'Tammuz. So Gimel Tammuz is in the 40 days that he went up. And the Rebbe says there are three possibilities to explain how he didn't eat. One possibility is that it was just a miracle that even though he was like a regular person and he needed to eat, he could survive anyway. But in fact, Moshe Rabbeinu suffered from not eating, like a person who suffers from pangs of hunger. That's one interpretation. Another interpretation is that Moshe Rabbeinu's nature actually changed. Was a miracle that he didn't need to eat. But the miracle only, well, the miracle was a miracle that was consistent for 40 days. In other words, every day there was a miracle that he continued to survive without eating. Then there's a third possibility that there was only one miracle. The miracle happened the first day. The first day Hashem changed Moshe Rabbeinu that he became like an angel. Once he became a different kind of an entity, then he doesn't have to eat anymore. So, again, this whole idea seems to be alluding to what we're talking about. And then there's another thing. The Rebbe concludes that there's a big Avodah, the Avodah of spreading Chassidus, the Avodah of bringing Mashiach. But the Rebbe asks the question, don't we have to take in consideration what the world is going to say about it? What the nations of the world will say about it? To do things to hasten Mashiach, they didn't understand it. It's a very high Avodah. And don't you have to take in consideration what the world says? And the answer is, the world is all ready. If you just do your Avodah the way it's supposed to be, L'mayla m'mdid ha'gbala, and nevertheless try to incorporate it in a way that people can relate to it, you will see that the world and the nature of the world will actually help you in this Avodah. And I think this is another thing where the Rebbe is alluding to. There's nothing that the world is more, it's more against the outlook and the perspective of the world is to say, if the Gimel Tamid that the Rebbe is alive. What could be more against human nature than that? The Rebbe says spreading Chassidus. Spreading Chassidus is such a, you know, it's against, that's not nothing that was going on for so many years. But talking about Mashiach and talking about the fact that the Rebbe is here, that's something which the world can't accept, I would think. So the Rebbe is telling us the world is ready, all set, ready to hear it. You just have to say it to them in the proper way, and the world not only will accept it from you, they'll help you. I don't know if anyone saw here the video that they showed on Mitzray Shabbos. Mitzray Shabbos, they showed a very powerful video. It was like many, many clippings of different Fabrengens. Some of them were literally 5 seconds, some were half a minute, some were a minute. Fabrengens, dollars, different things that the Rebbe said about Mashiach. And you see the Rebbe talking to people in English, and they're asking the Rebbe, what's your message, media people, what's your message to the world? And the Rebbe's message is, you have to tell the world Mashiach is on his way, and all we have to do is add an act of goodness and kindness. And the world can hear that in English and understand it. And there's actually one of the people the Rebbe speaks in English to. The Rebbe says another thing. The Rebbe says something like Mashiach is coming, and what we have to do now is accept him properly. The Rebbe tells the person, including you too. I thought that's also an interesting thing. In the Sichas, the Rebbe always says the words, everything is already done, Tshuva was already done, all the Avodah is completed, all we have to do now is be Mekabel Mashiach. So we interpret it as Mekabel Mashiach means to be Kabbalah Samalchus, to accept the Rebbe's Malchus. Other people want to say Mekabel Mashiach means you have to greet him, do everything to be ready for him. It doesn't mean you have to accept him as Mashiach. But it's interesting, the Rebbe himself, when he's translating these words in English, said you have to accept him properly. Which means that it's not just greeting Mashiach, it's actually accepting Mashiach, and that's what makes it happen sooner. But this is something which the Rebbe said a few times, and of course the Rebbe is referring to something which is radical, because if the Rebbe says, the world isn't ready, what is he talking about? Isn't ready for what? That you should do acts of goodness and kindness? What's wrong with that? Obviously the world isn't ready to hear, maybe, that the world is going to change and Mashiach is coming and everything is going to have this. So the Rebbe is saying the world is ready. But certainly the Rebbe does say we should do it l'mayla m'medida b'akbala, but in levushim of teva. We should find a language, we should find a way of communication that's going to be directed in teva. That means that a language that people can understand, a communication that people can relate to, and that'll make it reality. I don't know if everyone heard, was everyone here by the thing last night for the ladies? Not everybody? So I just mentioned one of the things that I said there, repeat two things. One thing is that to see the extent of how the Rebbe's words penetrate the whole world, or at least penetrate the secular world, I mentioned yesterday that 2 or 3 weeks ago, there was a national spelling bee. Spelling bee, which is, everybody's watching, the whole world, I mean, the United States, kids from high school, I guess, are in the spelling contest. And millions of people see this. The judges are in Washington. And you know how it works. You ask questions, and whoever doesn't know falls off. And then you have a few that are left. So they came to the last few. I think it was either 10 or 12 or 13 left. And the judge's question was, how do you spell Lubavitcher? I'm not kidding you. So the guy said, the boy never heard the word before, obviously, tells him, give me some background. So the judge explains, this is a Hasidic movement, that they come from White Russia, and the founder was Rav Shnei Zalman of Ladi. So he says, how do you pronounce it? So he gave him three pronunciations, Lubavitcher, Lubavitcher, and another one. Then he said, well, give me a sentence with the word. So the sentence was, Steve was listening how the Lubavitcher spoke about adding in goodness and kindness. This is where the Rebbe's words have. He spelled it wrong, he forgot the T, but they said that this boy will never forget how to spell Lubavitcher. He'll know how to spell Lubavitcher. Someone told me, I actually have someone who's sending me the video of it. Anyway, that's one thing. The other thing is to mention that it's 10 years of Yom Tammuz. That one of the things it says in the Rebbe's Kapitel is Kizchadesh Kaneshan Roichi, that you should be renewed with youth like an eagle. So what does it mean like an eagle? So Rashi says that an eagle, every 10 years, it has new wings and it becomes youthful again like before, 10 years. And then the Radak says a little bit of different thing. He says there's a Medrash that says that there's a specific species of eagle that after a while, after living a number of years, the eagle goes, flies very high, and it gets burnt by the heat of the sun and it falls into the water. And it's gone. But then it comes back up again. And 10 years later, the same thing happens. It's gone and gets renewed 10 years later. So every 10 years, it actually literally gets renewed, like as if it was just created once again. So basically, I'm saying this year is 10 years from Gimel Tammuz, the Rebbe's Kapitel. Also, there's a custom that every Rosh Chodesh, you learn the Psukim of the Kapitel. And according to that custom, the Pasuk which we learn for the month of Tammuz is this Pasuk about the eagle. So we should be Zeiche and see it with our eyes of flesh. This Chodesh Kanesh and Arechi, we should see everything renewed. 10 years already, go back the way it was, not only the way it was, but the Gula Mitzvah Shlem should be taken here at Mamma.